preach, so don't let the devil tell you that's why there's nobody here, because that's not true.
I'm not worried about it.
You're going to get to be in the all way around the world anyway.
Isn't that great? Well, first this morning I wanted to tell y'all about a dream that I had when we were on vacation. It doesn't really have anything to do with the sermon, but I thought it was a pretty cool dream. And it was about, well, we were sitting in church, me and a friend of mine, I guess my best friend, and we were sitting by each other, and you, JW, and my dad were in the same room together. It was kind of like a classroom. So it wasn't this church or anything. And you had handed me, I guess, some money. And, you know, there's like $2 bills that you get. And they look, you know, totally different from the money that we have. And then you see money from foreign places that are all colorful and stuff. It looked exactly like that. It was just out of the world. Like, there's... It just, I don't know, it was something special, you could tell. And so, you know, I'm looking at it, and I'm showing my friend, and turn it over, and on the other side, you know, how we usually have presidents or something like that on there, Jesus was on it. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And then I remember in the same classroom, I turned and looked, and I seen this girl, and I was talking to my friend about her, and she was by herself, and she had bought, like, breakfast for, I guess, maybe her and her boyfriend, but her boyfriend never showed up, and I remember talking about how sad that was or something. And me and my dad had talked about it, and he said that, you know, that could pertain to the girl being the church, because, you know, church is supposed to represent the bride. And I noticed I've seen this girl in my dreams before. Like, I've seen her throughout other dreams that I've had. It's the same girl. But, yeah, so it was a really different dream, and I haven't really put it all together or anything.
Maybe you should visit your wife, because you'll recognize her when you meet her.
Well, yeah, we'll leave that one alone.
I've heard of people seeing their mates like that, whatever.
Yeah, it was, I've seen her a few times, so I'd probably say about 3 or 4 of my dreams, actually. So,
okay.
Kind of, it's different. But I couldn't sit here and draw a picture of her face or anything, because you know, I don't remember what she looks like now. But if I seen her again in the dreams, then I'd be like, yeah. But I don't know. But this morning I want to talk about how a lot of Christians today have been stealing from God. And I know a lot of people think of that, you know, retaining to the tithing and people not giving the tithes, but that's not where I'm going with this morning. I'm talking about how a lot of Christians, you know, they don't look to God for what they need exactly, but they read the Bible, they listen to what it says, but they use it to comfort themselves instead of God comforting them. You know, just like as a thief would break into the smallest crack in the window, you know, a lot of the Christians do the same thing. They try to fight themselves into certain situations. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. That's not where we're supposed to be. And that's how a lot of Christians are living today. And then if you want to go ahead and open up to Proverbs 6, verse 30, and I'll pick up from there after. But yeah, we as people are definitely always constantly looking for that fix, and we always end up putting ourselves in situations where we should not be in the first place. And in Proverbs 6, verse 30, it says, "People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house." And a lot of Christians that have been stealing from God are those of different religions, and the ones that have been adding their twist or their deception to what the half-truth is. And so when we begin making decisions for ourselves and quit consulting God, the path back to God is 7 times harder to us, and we might have to give up a lot more than what we've gotten from not being on the path. So even though we might do certain things to get ourselves in certain situations or find ourselves receiving good things, doesn't mean that they will always be here with us, because we might have to give them back to get back to where we need to be with God. And a lot of people, one of the verses I think that are abused a lot in our path with God and stuff, are the in Romans 8, I think it's verse 28, where it says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And so, you know, people go out and they sin and they make a mistake. They admit they made a mistake. And within a couple minutes, they turn around and say, oh, well, all things are used for good. So I made this mistake. Yes, I understand. But that doesn't mean that I did something that's going to affect my life. You know, they think that they can just turn around and do it again and then come back and get...
Yeah.
You know, redeemed for it. But you can't always do that. It's not always an option to just go back to sin, go back and forth between sins.
That's what a lot of us do.
And they're stealing from God. They're stealing God's promises, and they're turning it into what they want it to be. And that's not what God's Word is for. God's Word is a map for us to live by, not for us to abuse, and not for us to get on our own path and, you know, design our own road, not, you know, just end up where we want to be. We have to end up where God wants us to be. And it is something, you know, very hard for all of us to understand, because sometimes there's a lot of things that we want, and in our mind we can't really accept the fact that we might not get it. And I know that's exceptionally hard for me to think that as of right now, I don't have a vehicle, and I would probably almost do about anything if someone came in, hey, you go, like, you know, mow 30 yards for free for me, and, you know, I'll help you out, get a car, and no telling how they're going to help me, but I'd probably jump at the opportunity, because, you know, I want a car that bad. But we need to consult God on what we need to do. If we need to do what that person has asked us, if we need to help somebody, then we need to consult God on that. So yeah, a lot of people act before consulting. And I know here recently at my job, I actually got promoted, and it's been 4.5 years in the making. And you know, we've had 3 GMs that have come through, and every one of them have always told me, oh, we're going to promote you and all this stuff. So you know, I've been anticipating it for a very long time. Many times I've been trained and I've never gotten it, but now I've finally gotten it, and I've been thanking God for it. But before, I probably wouldn't even thought about thanking God for it. But it is a gift, and a gift we're supposed to thank for. We don't necessarily have to always thank the person that's giving it to us, because we might not like that person very much, but it's a blessing from God, so we're supposed to be thanking Him for it.
Amen.
So yeah, so a lot of Christians are stealing God's promises to fit their hypocritical lifestyles, and they're causing other people to get misled, and they're misleading themselves. Their sin is an excuse just because of what they say, and their personal reasoning doesn't make it any better for themselves. And then the hardest thing to understand is God doesn't hear their cries, because He knows that they have a thieving heart. And so with all that put together, you have to understand that, yes, all things don't have to be doom and gloom, but a lot of things happen the way they happen just because the lifestyle that we're living, not just because all things work for good and we're just going to come out, you know, bright shining stars. We do, but the path isn't that easy. It's not bad one day, great the next day. It's not that easy. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep persevering and coming through and anticipate the happiness. Because if you want to live in sadness, you can. You can do that every day of your life if you want to. And I know it's hard. I know life can beat you down. There's days I don't sleep much. I might sleep a couple hours, you know, here and there. Maybe not even catch an hour of sleep. Just because, you know, so much stuff going on in life. And I know that's probably hard for a lot of y'all to hear because I'm only 20 years old. What could I be going through? But I get a lot of things in my mind, and I replay my day sometimes in my head, thinking about all the decisions I've made. And I know a lot of people do that, but it's not something that we have to be worried about because it's already passed, you know. We're supposed to press forward and anticipate what happens the next day. Anticipate living for God the next day. Not anticipate, oh, why I made that decision yesterday. You know, we're supposed to learn from the mistakes and carry on and persevere through God and listen and read this book, read the Bible, and live by what it says. Share the Bible with other people. Brother, I know my dad yesterday was telling me a story of this guy. I forget where it was, but he was tossing out Bibles and telling people, trying to hand them Bibles and stuff, and they caught his body on fire. And so he was in a boat, I believe, and so he had jumped out of the boat, I guess, into the water, and still was offering all these people Bibles and stuff, and they were threatening him to be beheaded. And I don't know if they don't know if he got beheaded or if he got pierced through the heart, but they said the last Bible, no doubt, was the one that he offered his executioner. So the person that was fixing to kill him, he still offered him a Bible. I don't know. A lot of people probably couldn't do that. I don't think I could do that. I might be thinking a lot of things, and I might be thinking about, maybe I shouldn't have been on that boat. You know, but that guy was living for God, and whatever he did, you know, a lot of people had their hands out for that Bible and took them, and who knows, maybe none of them read them, maybe some of them did. I'm sure they'll get tested for all that stuff, and they'll find out who took that Bible and all that, but, you know, that guy did a work, and he showed a lot of people what's going on in the world, especially in the army. I was taking them in. I'm sure a lot of people didn't really know that that was going to happen that day, that they were going to have to kill a Christian. So that's also something, you know, it's not hard. Or it's not easy. It's hard. It's very hard to be a Christian.
It is.
Especially in the world that we're living today with all this talk going on with the Taliban and Muslims. A lot of people are talking about the United Church, the coexist thing. I know, actually, a few kids that I know on Facebook have started talking about the coexist thing, which is, you know, we're all supposed to live together, no matter what religion, no matter what faith, you know, live together in peace. And, you know, that's wrong. I mean, you know, we're supposed to love one another, but we don't have to say, oh, it's all right for you to believe that. We'll see you in heaven too, you know. It's not true. We're supposed to try to push the thought of Jesus into them, show them the love of Jesus, that maybe they can see, oh, there's something different there. Maybe what I'm doing isn't the right thing. Maybe what I believe in isn't the right thing. And there's many people that convert all the time. And so there's a lot of people that realize that, you know, Allah isn't so great. Buddha isn't so great. The God that all these people, all these Christians, all these preachers that I see on Facebook, on MySpace, on TV, on the radio, that's the God that I should be looking to. That's the Jesus that I need in my life, not the Jesus that a lot of people still think hasn't come. I'm kind of losing my voice as I go on right now. What I can think about is, you know, last night while I was sleeping, I ended up waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning or something along those lines, somewhere around that time. And I remember I was praying that God would maybe give me some sort of dream, you know, some sort of answer to a lot of the questions I've been having lately, especially pertaining to my car or whatever means of transportation he's going to be giving me soon. The sermon, of course, I was praying about work and everything. And I know last night I had a dream, and it was a crazy dream, and I don't remember none of it. Not one ounce of that dream do I remember, because I woke up as soon as it happened, and I remember kind of like trying to keep myself asleep so I'd finish the dream. And then I wake up and I was like, okay, I can remember that, because it was just so out there. It was just like nothing I've even thought of. And went back to sleep, you know, woke up this morning, and God just kind of pieced it together one a little bit at a time for me. But I still don't have the whole thing together right now, so, you know, I was going to talk about that this morning. I remember waking up saying, oh, that'd be such a great thing to talk about. Okay, yeah. So I added in there. Wake up. It's gone. So, you know, it had stuff to do with, I know a lot of it had something to do with my mom's car, dad's truck, you know, something that I was driving. I don't even know what it was. So, you know, God is working. God is still working. God is here for us. God is going to give us what we need to carry out His work. You know, to fill our heart with happiness, to realize our dreams. We don't have to sit here and steal from Him when He's given to us. All we have to do is say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for the job that you've given us. A lot of people don't have jobs anymore. Unemployment is still on the rise. A lot of people are talking about, you know, firing handfuls now. It's not just, you know, oh, we got to fire this guy because he's a bad worker. No, we got to get rid of about 15, a couple thousand people, a lot of companies are talking about. So, you know, we have to realize how blessed we are, even though we might be in a rough job or a rough spot. You know, a lot of people might hate us at our job. Talk bad about you behind your back. Of course, that happens everywhere, but we have to realize that we are what we are because that's where God has put us, and God has blessed us with the job, and God has blessed us with the opportunity to be here to fellowship. I don't have a car, but you know, I have a family that's willing to drive me places. I have friends that their family won't take their nowhere without them paying for gas. It doesn't matter if they're the ones driving the car or not. They better be paying for gas. Better be paying the bill. You know, I'm blessed that I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about school and working and being at church and living for God. So that's a blessing. And I know a lot of people don't realize that. But, you know, it is. It is a blessing. You can have it a lot worse.
Amen.
So we have to realize that, you know, God is good, God is great, God is going to love us, God is going to get us through whatever we're going through this week, whatever we're going through this month, whatever we're going through this year, God is going to get us through it. And we have to be willing to thank Him.
Amen.
And give Him our heart. We don't have to steal our heart anymore. All we have to do is just give it to Him. That's all I got this morning.
That's good. There's a lot of people misuse the word of God.